Ever wonder why some project managers seem to effortlessly navigate office politics, perform under pressure, lead teams they do not directly manage, and of course, constantly deliver results, even when everything is going wrong? I'm not going to sugarcoat this for you, family. It's not easy, but it's not hard. Whether you're just starting out or you're a seasoned project manager looking to level up, these insights will transform the way you approach people on your project teams, as well as your stakeholders. And most of all, your overall approach to project management. We're going to jump right in. Point number one, wait a minute. I can't do that without sharing the story with you. Point number one is really about performing under pressure. And the reason why this is number one, family, is because of the fact that a lot of times you have to maintain composure even when the situation is not fair. I think I said something. See, a lot of times you get put in situations and it can be frustrating and you're irritated because you're like, I didn't treat you that way. Let me tell you a brief story. I worked with this gentleman that every time that you sent out an email and you may have misspoke or anything of that nature. Let's say you send out an email and say, oh, we're going to be meeting at this time. And then you get some different information from another project team member. And they say, hey, can we change that time up? And he would send an email and saying, hey, well, I talked to such and such. And they say, we're meeting at this time. And this email had your manager on there, as well as your manager's manager. And this happens so many different times. And then you ask yourself, and then you talk to the guy and say, hey, anytime that you've done anything where you misspoke, I've always told you behind the scenes so you can correct it publicly. And see, this shows me the difference between leadership and manage. What do you mean, ED? I'm so glad you asked, family, because I know I got an intelligent family out there. So I'm going to say what I mean by that. See, leadership is looking to influence and impact, according to John Maxwell. Okay, you don't like that one. Leadership is about understanding that I'm going to make you look good, even though you may have fumbled, stumbled, and maybe even failed. But management is like, oh, well, I'm going to show you that you should have said it this way, or that's incorrect, and I'm going to embarrass you, or if you're like me, like, hey, do what you need to, then you're still taking the approach of, I am trying to make you look less than and let me look as an authority. See, that's management. Leadership wants to see you strive. Leadership wants to influence because they know it may come a time where you may go to another organization. You may create your own organization and they may look up and looking to come work with you. So I say that for point number one, performing under pressure, you want to be able to maintain your composure. And trust me, family, I always tell you, and I'm very transparent. I have not been great at this, but I've understood that before I send that nasty gram, what we call basically an email that I'm going to give you up. Okay, I won't say that here. This is a family show. But basically what I'm saying is that I will just let them know how I feel in a professional way, but not really how I feel, but these are the facts. And you also need to understand the decision-making abilities under high-stress situations. So this is my recommendation or my actionable tip. Develop a personal stress plan. One of the things that I've started doing over the past 2 months here, really a lot, is just ready work and exercising 3 to 4 days a week. And again, you know what I'm going to share with you. You've been listening to me for a while. I still haven't got there, so just bear with me, family. But it's mindful techniques, basically meditation. So I'm still working through that piece. But definitely staying committed to the regular exercise, because I find when I'm stressed and I'm frustrated with things that, especially someone like me that really is compassionate and committed to this thing that I hope you fall in love with called project management, it's one of those things where if I let it get to me too much, I will miss out on the opportunity. So for me, regular exercise gives me an opportunity to let some of that stress and frustration off. Let's move on to point number two, leading people who don't report to you. You know, one of the things is this is why I say this particular position of being a project manager is so unique. And I know I'm biased, but it is though. When you think about it, you have to develop influence without formal authority, and you have to build trust. You have to demonstrate expertise, as well as you need to align with the project goals and team members' personal objectives. And your project team doesn't report to you. So it's definitely more challenging to create that trust, to really show that you have the expertise. Because if it's just like anything, especially when you're working on a job, people are slow to trust, but quick to disregard you because they're like, oh, but this guy doesn't know, this girl doesn't know what's going on. I'm not going to trust them because I've seen them, you know, stab somebody else in the back or say something else about somebody else. So it's very important. One of the actionable tips I recommend is create a team charter that outlines shared goals, values, as well as you want to find ways to recognize team members' contributions to build goodwill as well as motivation. Point number three, I know this is and again, I told you we try to do different things here. I'm talking about real life, pragmatic skills, basically things you could take today and implement today. I'll give you to tonight to think it over. But if you take advantage of it, this will be a game changer. Developing persuasive skills. So when you enhance your ability to influence decision and gain buy-in on your ideals through more of convincing one in an emotional, intelligent way. So let's unpack that. So it looks like, hey, we got two options. Either we can go with option A or option B. And this is the effect from option A and option B. But both of these options really suit the project needs. And so that's a way of being persuasive. And it still gives the team authority to make a decision of what direction they want to go in. Also want to recommend, family, and this is something you're starting to see a lot more in my episode, and I'm living what I'm talking about, meaning practice storytelling techniques to make your ideals more compelling as well as memorable. Point number four, building relationships with project team. Now, one of the biggest things that if there was anything that I could really leave you with today, so you know what I'm about to say, message, if you're new to the episode, anytime that I articulate the word message, that means this is something you want to pay attention to. If you're scrolling right now, stop. If you're doing anything else except listening and paying attention to this episode, this is one of those points you want to pay attention to. Why is that? One of the strengths that has helped me a lot in projects is really building relationships with the project team. And when I say building relationships, I'm going to give you tangible things, meaning when you talk with your team member, you start asking them personal things to build that trust and them knowing, oh, it's not going to be circulated around the whole organization. And I'm not talking about something simple. It could be something like, oh, your son is starting high school or your daughter is going to college type thing. And then you hold that information. I used to, until I started really getting good at this, I used to document it on my phone and be like, okay, next time I talk to Rob, I'm going to ask him about, hey, I know your daughter went to school. How's she making that transition? And genuinely mean it, because I do. And this in turn, they go and fight for you. They go to battle. They go to war for you in a sense that you'll never believe. And plus, when you are on those, let's say you're not a technical project manager and then you're in a technical call, that relationship that you build will step up and say, hey, let me explain it. Hey, don't worry about it. I got you. Let me explain this. And they will step in because they know that you have their best interests at heart. So again, family, build real genuine relationships with your project team. Point number five, delivering bad news effectively. Listen, family, projects are going to have setbacks. They're going to have failures, but you must maintain the trust and focus all of your energy on the solution. If you know what I always talk about here, a lot of times people get so caught up in the problem that they lose vision as well as sight on the actual solution. One of the actual tips that I would recommend is using what we call a sandwich technique. I know you've heard that. Basically, is really starting off with the context, what's going on, or what I'd not like to do is start off with some good news. I start off with the good news and then I deliver the bad news. But watch this, family, because this is pivotal. You want to propose a solution. I don't care if it's right. I don't care if it doesn't make sense. It's just that you thinking where others are just so focused on the problem. Say, hey, I would recommend this. And really seem bold and like you really believe in the thing. Because if you don't propose a solution, then it's going to look like, oh, we're just always focusing on the solution. I mean, on the problem. And then when you do that, then you want to offer some next steps. Be ready. I always recommend be prepared to have a detailed recovery plan. Point number six, building personal resilience. Oh, you're going to need this. Developing a mental and emotional fortitude to navigate the challenges of complex projects, as well as working in high stakes environment. One of the things that I would recommend, I actually do something a little bit different. This is my journaling for you guys, but I recommend practicing reflective journaling, to process experiences. And you can really extract a lot of lessons out of there. After you step back when someone says or does something, and you take the moment to reflect on it, it's a great opportunity. You're like, wait a minute, they may be 100% wrong, but what did I learn from this? Even if it's learning that, hey, when I get in a position of power that they're in, I'm not going to treat someone else like that. Or if I'm a project team member that I'm working with, I'm not going to treat them. It could be as simple as that. And then, of course, you know what I'm going to say next, and I always talk about it. Develop a strong support network of mentors as well as peers, and regularly assess and adjust your work-life balance to prevent burnout. Point number seven, enhancing cross-functional communication. One of the key things of being a project manager is bridging communication gaps between different departments and technical disciplines involved in the project. Sometimes you have some people that are super technical, and you have to be able to take that information and condense it down and say, hey, can you just tell me this? And if you was explaining it to your child or a young person, because evidently, I don't know what you're saying. And then sometimes you have to, if you're a technical project manager, you have to be able to take that information and boil it down so the team can understand what is going on, or basically what's involved in the project. One of the things I started doing, and I'm going to recommend this to you, is create a project glossary to ensure common understanding of key terms, and use visual communication tools like infographics or processing maps. This is just basically for really complex concepts across different disciplines. All right, family. Point number eight, propose solutions to failing projects. You know, I always talk about proposing solutions and everything that I talk about and not getting caught up in the problem, but develop and present viable strategies to get a troubled project back on track. Here's an actionable tip. Conduct a thorough root cause analysis. Present multiple options with their pros as well as their cons for each, along with your recommendations, of course, and include in this action items, timelines, and what other resources are going to actually be required to deliver this. Here's my two bonuses, and then I'll go into my closing remarks, family. Bonus number one, mastering project presentation. One of the things that you're going to understand and you're going to know when you become a project manager, you're going to deliver a lot of presentations, and it's going to fluctuate. It could be 1 year you delivered so many presentations, and more than maybe every month or every quarter, depending on the PMO or the leadership that's involved. And people always ask me, how do I become better at presenting in presentations? And I know a lot of people don't like to hear this answer, but this is how I got here, and this is how I'm continually to work. Start a YouTube video, start a podcast, record yourself. You don't have to put it out, but you can see when you make mistakes. Also, I would recommend that you practice at work as well, like get your presentation and do practice. Listen, family, it's about reps and sets. What I mean by that is, just like in weightlifting, to get stronger, you have to break down the muscle. And breaking down the muscle consists of doing reps, meaning multiple times, and sets, meaning, okay, I'm going to do 10 reps, and then I'm 3 sets of this 10 rep. So again, family, reps and sets. Last and final bonus, which I know it seems most obvious. You're going to say, are you Captain Obvious? Maybe I am, but sometimes the most common things we take for granted. Here we go. Trusting team members, having the ability to delegate effectively and resist micromanagement. I know a lot of project managers will tell you, oh, it's about control. No, it's not. If you have to be about control, normally times, let me backstep real quick. If you have to be in control like that, a lot of times more with an inexperienced project team, and that's okay. But what the goal is after you've done many projects with them, that eventually you want them to be self-organized. You want them to be, when you're leading meetings, that you can switch out leaders if possible and have someone lead the meeting, and you're just trying to get a better understanding of what's going on. And this, the biggest thing again, is you're focusing on outcomes, not results. And also, you don't get caught up in the whole process or what we call red tape in the industry. Here's an actionable tip. Clearly define expectations such as criteria, then allow team members to determine their own approach. Use regular check-ins to provide support without interference. Here's my three quotes. I'm gone. First one, performing under pressure. Like I shared the story with you about the email where I had someone that every time that I would send something out, they always thought it was in their best interest to correct me in a public forum, which again, that's management. And sometimes you get to a point where you're like, even though it's not right, is that you know where they stand. And we want to make people into something like, I'll give them another chance. No, this is who this person is. Don't try to change them, because unless they want to be changed, you can have a conversation with them. Like I always say, I'll have two conversations with you. But when I see that you're going back into your old habits, I'm going to leave you there, because it doesn't make sense for me to continue to take time out of my day for the thing that you're constantly doing, when I'm showing you respect by, if there was something that you misspoke on, I would set up a meeting, or I would course correct you in Teams or Slack or something like that, so you can publicly go out and correct it. All right, I'll get off my soapbox on that one. Developing persuasion skills, like I said, just your ability, ideas and ideals, and leveraging emotional intelligence. And then the last and final one, building relationship with project team. You want to create a camaraderie with your team and share a purpose beyond just task completion. Well, family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I go by the name of ED. And again, family, I truly thank you and respect you for taking the time to watch episode after episode, or even listen to episode after episode. It means a lot to me, and I hope you're getting some value.